It's good to be with you today, and we've been talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and how his resurrection affects the future resurrection of the body from the dead for everyone who follows Jesus. His disciples will also experience a bodily resurrection. For the first 3 days this week, we went out on a hike to 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 to discuss living in the light of Easter. I'm convinced that Easter should not be viewed simply as a special Sunday on the annual church calendar, but rather is well worth our celebration and remembrance daily. Given that many churches and Christians and, yes, radio ministries have a tremendous amount of build-up to Easter, but then simply move on in the days afterwards, I wanted to keep it on our minds and hearts. But today, let's walk back to our base camp in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. We're talking about this word salvation. Listen for it now as I read Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul the Apostle, who wrote to the Romans, is the same man who wrote to the Corinthians and Thessalonians that we read from the last few days. And here he is using the word salvation to describe that people who put their faith in Jesus Christ are saved from the wrath of God. They are saved from the anger of God for sin. What we are saved from is our sin, but more specifically, God's wrath being poured out on our sin. And so I gave you the bad news from Romans 1 and verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And we talked about God's wrath. We talked about God's anger. And then we discussed with one another the really great news, salvation. The Greek word for salvation has as its primary meaning deliverance and rescue. God's salvation is deliverance and rescue from sin. Amazingly, here is what God does. God provides his good news to deliver and rescue you from his bad news. Did you get that? God provides his good news to deliver and rescue you from his bad news. So all of this is by way of review. It's where we left off the last time we talked about salvation in Romans 1 and verse 16. What I want to do now is to give you further insight into this key word, salvation. And specifically today, I want you to know that Christians are saved, past, are being saved, present, and will be saved, future. When we talk about salvation, we have to talk about it in three tenses. There's the past, the present, and the future. Where does the Bible talk about this? Everything I say concerning salvation must be supported by the Word of God. So can I give you scriptural support for these three tenses of salvation? Well, yes, I can. Let me show you how Christians have been saved, past tense. Listen to the words also of the Apostle Paul to his letter to the Ephesians. This is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It's actually just the first part of verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Notice Paul says you have been saved. That's in the past tense. Time-wise, in the past, you were saved from the wrath of God. You were saved from sin. This is what we sometimes refer to as our conversion. And let me take myself as an example. I can tell you with certainty when Jesus Christ saved me from my sin. Yes, he did so on the cross. There's Easter again. But in my human experience, he did so in 1986, 32 years ago. When did I become aware that Jesus had saved me from my sin and thereby I have escaped the wrath of God? It was in the summer of 1986. I cannot remember the exact date, but I do know it was early in the morning, and I do know it was when I had my Bible open and was reading in Luke chapter 4. And of course, I can say more about my conversion at another time, should this be of interest to you. But that is in my past. I can say I am saved because I was saved in the past. And of course, if you are a Christian, then you were saved in the past. The past might be this morning, or yesterday, or 55 years ago for that matter. But the point here is this, salvation happened to you in the past. Now, some Christians think of salvation as being entirely in their past. I run into this fairly often when I ask a believer if they would like to give a testimony of what God is doing in their life. As the time for the testimony comes around, I listen as the person immediately talks about their conversion story from years before, even decades before. They might say something like, "I was saved at age 21. Then they will tell that story and add some encouraging thought about how much God has meant to them and then sit down. And that's good. We certainly rejoice that a person has been saved. However, here's the question. Isn't this person also being saved? Present tense. What is God doing in your life today? That's the testimony the rest of us would value hearing. Tell us about today's struggles and how the Holy Spirit, living within you, is now saving you from sin. You might talk about your great hope of being saved in the future as well, one day when you will enter the perfection of your eternal life with Christ in heaven, because you will be saved from sin." Well, think about the Christian friends. Think about those friends that have shared a testimony in this way. It's certainly valid to tell us when and how you were saved from sin in the past. We rejoice in your salvation. But we also want to know about God's ministry of salvation in these two other tenses or periods of time, the present and the future. So let's see in the Bible that salvation is also present. It's ongoing. We are being saved. Where is this in the Bible? Well, let's go back to Paul's letters to the Corinthians to see this, and this will be a quick trip. Listen now to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Did you catch the present tense? Are being saved. Listen also to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15. "For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." There it is again. Who are being saved? Present tense. We have been saved from sin, and we are still in the process of being saved from sin every day. Let's take me as an example. I am a sinner. I am a sinner through and through. And so I require God's salvation in my life as much today as I did in 1986. We're going to talk about this more when we get to Romans chapter 6 through 8 and start dealing with sanctification. But for now, it's enough that we know salvation is ongoing within our souls. We are being saved. This is what the Apostle Paul believed and taught. And then our salvation, being delivered and rescued from sin, is also future. We will be saved. Listen again to Paul. He's a premier theologian. This also comes from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 says, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." I trust you heard that. We shall be saved from the wrath of God. Shall be. This is future. Let's take me as an example just one more time. And I only do so because I do not know you. I was saved from my sin in 1986. I am being saved from my current sin in the present time today, and I will be saved from my sin in the future. No matter what period of time you take, past, present, and future, there is salvation from the wrath of God for this poor sinner. No wonder I love God, and no wonder I've dedicated my life to serving the one who has saved me from sin, is saving, will save. Salvation is past and present and future. Here, let me make a comment on just one of the many great benefits to this reality, security. The reason I wanted to share with you the past, present, and future dynamic of Christ's salvation is that it provides the Christian with a great deal of security. We are safe from the wrath of God on sin. That is why God no longer feels wrath, his holy anger for those who he has saved in Christ. God is not angry with the person who genuinely and sincerely believes in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. And so if you are in Christ, then you have been delivered and rescued. You have experienced this salvation that Paul writes about here, and you are secure. It is not only that when you obey, God loves you, and then when you disobey, you drop back into God's wrath. It is not that back and forth you go like a bouncing ball. No. Does obedience matter to Jesus Christ? Yes, of course. It matters quite a lot. There will be in the life of all genuinely saved persons a trajectory, a direction of life that moves in the direction of obedience to the Master Jesus. We are maturing in Christ. We are becoming more like Him, not less like Him every day. However, we still sin. We are repulsed and disturbed by our sins. I know I am. But nevertheless, we give in to temptation and do the opposite of that to which we should have done. And yet still we remain saved and deeply loved by God. And so we confess this sin to Him again and receive our forgiveness. We invite other Christians to pray for us and share our burden of sin, and they speak the truth into our lives and encourage us to press forward in obedience to Jesus Christ. If you are experiencing insecurity, I want you to write to me today. Just pop me an email and express what you're feeling. You are a Christian, but you sometimes feel as though sin is so prevalent in your life that you wonder, am I saved? Perhaps you have heard teaching from a pastor or someone on the internet, even on the radio, who teaches that you can lose your salvation if you are not careful, or that enough of your sin will cause God to unsave you. You will no longer be saved. Well, I'd welcome the opportunity to discuss this with you, and my email address given at the end today is this, mark@markaswallow.com. Mark@markaswallow.com. Will you write to me today? I sure hope so. I believe salvation is past, present, and future. What do you think? Write to me now and let's discuss this further. Don't be shy in writing. If you do not write, then I will never know what you're thinking. I cannot read your mind, but I can read your email. So write and then come along and join me tomorrow as we continue to discover who God is.